Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Chaf. We are going to begin about 7 lines down from the top, which is the words Ula Rabbi Shimon. Now, we discussed yesterday in great detail Rabbi Shimon's Shita. We had 2 different opinions of what Rabbi Shimon's Shita was regarding the case of Reuven and Shimon, 2 brothers being born. Reuven marries Rachel, subsequently he dies. Rachel, the widow of Reuven, falls in Yibum to Shimon, and then either Shimon does Yibum with her, and then the third brother Levi is born, or the third brother is then born, and then Shimon does Yibum with her. So we had the first version, which was Rabbi Yoshaya's version of Rabbi Shimon, which we schlugged up. We tried to schlug it up twice, we only schlugged it up once. And that was that Rabbi Shimon makes no distinction whether Levi is born before the Yibum or after the Yibum. This woman is considered a full-fledged wife of Shimon, and in that situation, there is no Isser anymore of Eishes Ach Shelo Haya Biolomo with Reuven's widow, because even though Reuven and Levi were not alive at the same time, Shimon's marriage to her, either before or after Levi is born via Yibum, negates that. That was Rabbi Yoshaya's opinion. However, we slugged that up, and we came down with Rav Papa's opinion. And Rav Papa's opinion was that Rabbi Shimon only argues with the Chachamim if the Yibum with Shimon took place first, and then subsequently Levi was born. And only in that situation does Rabbi Shimon say that there is no issue of Eishes Ach Shelo Haya Biolomo anymore. And now we go to the Gemara and remind ourselves why that is the case. And only in that case, where Levi was born after the Yibum, is there no problem, according to Rabbi Shimon, for him to go and marry, should Shimon die childless, for him to do Yibum or Chalitza with either the original widow of Reuven, Rachel, or with Shimon's wife, Leah, in that situation. Again, Rachel and Leah are unrelated. He has to do Yibum or Chalitza with either one of the two that he chooses, and the other one goes off free. There is no Isser of Eishes Ach Shelo Haya Biolomo, nor there is an Isser of the Tzara of the Eishes Ach Shelo Haya Biolomo, according to Rabbi Shimon, if Levi is born after the Yibum took place. So again, we pick up 7 lines down from the top, Chof Omer Aleph, Ula Rabbi Shimon, according to this Shita, that Rabbi Shimon says, if Levi is born after the Yibum, there is no problem. Why? Hoel Uba Umitzor Behetu, since when Levi is born, he never sees her as Reuven's widow, he only sees her as Shimon's wife. Below Amda Olov Shor Achaz Be'isser, and not even for 1 minute, was the widow of Reuven in a state where she wasn't married to Shimon. Lo amda alo shor achas b'isser. She never was asked to him, other than being the eishes ach now of Shimon, which if Shimon dies childless, then the mitzvah of Yibum negates the isser of eishes ach. Therefore, based upon this, the Gemara questions, Elamayata, if this is so, let's say Reuven had married, in fact, the maternal sister of his paternal brother, Shimon. Now, if you're interested, you can see a diagram of this next to footnote number 6 in the art scroll, but I think if you just listen outside, it's easier rather than looking at a diagram in this situation, or the rare exception to my rule that the diagrams are very, very helpful. Here you have, again, Reuven and Shimon are paternal brothers, but they're only half-brothers. They have the same father, but they don't have the same mother. And, in fact, Shimon, with his mother, who is different than Reuven's mother, had a sister. A half-sister. They have the same mother, but they don't have the same father. This half-sister, maternal half-sister of Shimon, she goes and marries Reuven. No problem, they're not at all related. Reuven is his half-brother, only on the paternal side. This woman, Reuven's wife, we'll call her Rachel. In the diagram they call her Miriam, but we'll call her Rachel. We've been trying to be consistent the whole time. So in this situation, this Rachel is in fact Shimon's half-sister on the maternal side. There is no Isser in this Rachel, again as the diagram calls her Miriam, going and marrying Reuven. They do so, and then Reuven, of course, dies. In this situation, Shimon would actually have his maternal sister, his half-sister, his maternal sister, fall to him in Yibam. Now, of course, that would not be allowed, one would have thought. But the Gemara says, Elamayapta, based upon what you're saying, if Shimon were actually not to have been born yet. Let's say Shimon is only born after Reuven had married his half-sister. Now, he's not alive yet, so it's only his half-sister when he's born, but Reuven had married what would be his half-sister, Shimon's half-sister. And now, Shimon only sees his maternal half-sister as the wife of his paternal half-brother, Reuven. He never saw her as his half-sister alone. She was always married to Reuven. Elamayato, Achosum Imo, Shinasa Ochiv Miyaviv, his half-maternal sister, married his half-paternal brother. And then he's born. V'achakach Nolodoch, then his Shimon is born. And then Mace, and then Reuven dies. And now his half-maternal sister falls to Shimon in Yibam. So obviously the answer is you can't take her. She's your half-sister. But based upon this, let us say to Siabem that he should be allowed to go and do Yibam with her. Why? This principle, Hol Uba Umitsa Beheter, since he never saw her as his half-sister, he only saw her as his brother's wife, Eishes Ach, and this is Eishes Ach B'makom Mitzvah. So maybe, via the same reasoning, that Levi is not considered to be Eishes Ach Shelo Hayah B'Olam when he goes and does Yibam, in the case that we talked about, according to Rabbi Shimon, after he's born, after the Yibam with Shimon took place, just like there, Lo Motzah, he never saw her in an Isser state, Ho Lubo Motzah B'Heter, let's apply that over here too. Now, the Gemara says, obviously that's ridiculous, as all of you are thinking. What are you talking about? Isser Achosel, Lechi Yozal. Where did that Isser go? She's his half-sister. It didn't just fly away when they got married. When his half-sister married his half-brother, again, a perfectly heter marriage, because they're not at all related to each other. So you can't say that the sister Isser went away. Isser Achosel, Lechi Yozal. So the Gemara says, that's exactly then with Rabbi Shimon. That's the question of Rabbi Shimon. Hochanami, where did the Isser Ochav Shloya B'Olamo Lehechanoza? How did that go away? How can you tell me that just because Reuven, when he died, his wife married Shimon before Levi was born, how does that Eishes Och Shloya B'Olamo Isser just go away? Just like the Achoso Me'imo doesn't go away, so too, the Isser of Eishes Och Shloya B'Olamo, that also just can't go away b'chdi. It can't just go away by itself. So one says, no, there's a huge difference between the two of them, as you may have guessed on your own. Hi, Isur de Leslea Teira. When you're talking about Eishes Och, so Eishes Och is normally prohibited, except when you die childless. So that is an Isur that in some situations is present, but in other situations, it's not present. When a brother dies childless, so then the Isur of Eishes Och goes away, because the mitzvah of Yibam, as we pointed out in the first parak, takes its place. That is therefore the same halacha that applies to Eishes Och, whether it was Bali Olam or Lo Bali Olam, according to Rabbi Shimon, that Isser under certain situations can go away. However, the sister, the maternal sister, hi, Isser de Isle Hetera. We never ever have permission to marry your sister, your maternal sister, or any sister. So therefore, that Isser never goes away, and therefore it doesn't go away in this scenario as well. So the Gemara's question, which seemed obviously to be ridiculous, albeit on a logical level, there seemed to be a comparison between Eishes Och Shelo Hayah B'Olamo and the maternal sister. If both of them were married to your brother before you were born, so one could say you only found the Motzah B'Heter, so there's an obvious difference between these two scenarios. And of course, the Eishes Och Shelo Hayah B'Olamo, according to Rabbi Shimon, if Levi is born after Shimon does Yibam with Reuven's widow, that's allowed. But in the scenario of Eishes Ach, that obviously is not going to be allowed to fall to Yibam. Okay, this was a very complicated sugya. Now let's go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Klal Amru B'Yavama. A general halacha was stated, a general rule was stated in regards to a Yavama. And that is, Kol Shehi Isser Erva, whenever the Yavam is not allowed to go and have relations with his Yavama, because there's an Isser Erva involved, like the first 15 cases, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, that we had in the first parak, in the first Mishnah, so then she, as well as her tzara, according to Beis Hillel, lo choletzes v'lo mesiav yemes. There is no allowance to do Yibam, and there is no requirement to do Chalitza. You don't need either one, because of the Isser Erva, both for the Erva herself, as well as for the tzara. That's Beis Hillel's opinion. Of course, Beis Shammai said that only for the Erva, not for the tzara. Then the Mishnah tells us, and we had this Mishnah alluded to earlier in the first parak as well, Isser Mitzvah, the Isser Kedusha, if there is an Isser that is a Mitzvah prohibition that you're going against, which the Gemara and the Mishnah will define itself in a moment, or an Isser Kedusha, which again, the Gemara and the Mishnah will define in a moment, we'll have two different ways actually of defining them, In this situation, there is an obligation min haTorah to do Yibam because the marriage would be chal with an Issa Mitzvah or an Issa Kedusha, as opposed to the Erva in the first scenario that we just described, Kol Sheyisu Erva, the marriage is prohibited and it's not chal, so therefore that's a different scenario than an Issa Mitzvah or an Issa Kedusha where the marriage is chal. So there is, on the Dorais level, an obligation of Yibam, but since there's an Issa involved, we say don't do Yibam, just do Chalitza. So you can fulfill your obligation of Yibam or Chalitza via Chalitza and not have to be over the Issa Mitzvah or the Issa Kedusha. So that's Choletzes v'lo Misya Bemis. Now the Gemara tells us, if Achoso Shiyivimta, then Choletzes v'lo Misya Bemis. Here you have a case where there are three brothers. You have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon married sisters. So Reuven married Rachel, sister one, and Shimon married Leah, sister two. We've had this scenario many times already. And what happens? Nebuch, they both die, and they both fall to Levi. Now, in this situation, each one would be Achos Zikukaso. And we would say, you're not allowed to do Yibam, you just do Chalitza with each one of them. It's Achos Zikukaso, which is the Drabanon Zika over here. And therefore, Midaraisa, you would have the obligation of Yibam with one of them, and then the other one would be Achos Ishto, and you wouldn't do Yibam with her, but right now it's only a Din Derabanan of Achos Zikukaso, so we say, don't do Yibam, but instead do Chalitza. But here the Mishnah is telling us, if one of them also happens to be Osir to Levi, because as Rashi says, in addition to being Achos Zikukaso, you have in this situation that she is one of the two, let's say Rachel, Reuven's wife, is also either his daughter-in-law, as Rashi says, she kaloso, o chamoso, or is his mother-in-law, through prior marriages. So Levi is now having his achos zikukaso from Reuven fall to him, because Rachel and Leah are sisters, but Rachel is also his daughter-in-law or his mother-in-law. And therefore, in that situation, there is no din of Yibam because of the Erva. So the Achos Zikukaso that would have been a problem for him to do Yibam with Shimon's wife because Rachel is Achos Zikukaso now fell off because she's an Erva. So now you're just left with a regular case of one woman falling to him, or one man's wives, Shimon could have more than one wife, falling to Levi, and he's allowed to do Yibam or Chalitza with her. He's obligated to do Yibam or Chalitza with her, even though Achosa Shiyivimta, even though the other wife that fell to him is the sister of the wife that he's going to do Yibam or Chalitza to, because the other wife is, in addition to being Achos Zikukaso, is also this Rachel, who is Achos Zikukaso, the sister of Leah, who falls to Minibam, is also an erva to him of, let's say, Kaloso or Chamoso. Okay. Next case. What exactly the Mishnah tells us is Issa Mitzvah. So Issa Mitzvah, according to our Mishnah, is a woman that is prohibited to get married through a Din D'Rabbanan. Shnios Midivri Sofer. Now we're going to discuss what the Shnios are in tomorrow's Shir. We'll wait to discuss that in more detail. But they're basically assuming that the rabbi said are too similar to an Isser Erva, to a real Isser D'Araisa that is prohibited with Kares. And therefore the rabbi said, if we allowed you to marry this woman, which the Torah does, it could easily lead to somebody being mistakenly thinking that they'd be allowed to marry one of the Arayas. And therefore the rabbis instituted what are called Shnios, this Isurim Midrabanan, to put up a gedder, a fence, so to say, that you shouldn't go and marry one of the real Isurim that are an Isur of Koris, an Isur of Erva. So that's called Isur Mitzvah. This is a Din Derabanan that you're not allowed to marry this woman. So on a Deraisa level, if Reuven married such a woman, so it was over an Is, the rabbi said, but the marriage is Chal. And therefore, when Reuven dies, his widow, Rachel, falls to Shimon, falls to Levi. And Yibam on a Deraisa level, but the rabbis didn't want you to do Yibam because you'd be over in Isser if you did Yibam with her, and therefore they said, do Chalitza, and this way you fulfill the obligation of Yibam Chalitza without being over the Isser Mitzvah that's involved. What is Isser Kedusha? So the Mishnah tells us this would be an example where there was a lack of Kedusha as a result of the person's marriage. The marriage is Chal, such as Almono Lekoin Gadol. The Lekoin Gadol has to marry Kim Sulame Amavi Kachi Shah. He only is allowed to marry a virgin who's never been married before. And therefore, Nebuch, if this is an almana that would be falling to a Kohen Gadol, Reuven is the Kohen, his brother Shimon is a Kohen Gadol, Reuven is allowed to have married this woman, perfectly had the marriage, but now that Reuven dies, she becomes an almana. So this Rachel is a regular almana. If it was anybody but the Kohen Gadol, there would be no problem doing Yibam, even with a Kohen, and certainly with the Yisrael. But since the brother Shimon is the Kohen Gadol, so this case of an almana falling to a Kohen Gadol is not allowed because of this Isser Kedusha, this diminution, if you wish, in the Kedusha, that the Kohen Gadol is required to marry a Besula Me'amov Ikach Isha. Likewise, if this had been a marriage of a Gerusha or a Chalutza, the Kohen Hedjo, if, in fact, Reuven had married a Gerusha or a Chalutza, a Gerusha is not allowed to be married on the Derais level, a Chalutza, since it's so similar to Gerushin, the rabbi said that a Kohen can't marry some woman who's a chalutza, because if you allow him to marry a chalutza, he may come to think that there's no difference between a chalutza and a grusha, and he'll come and marrying a grusha, Rachmana Litzlan, or another kohen will marry a grusha, so therefore the rabbis instituted that a chalutza can't marry a kohen as well. So grusha and chalutza, a kohen hedjot wasn't allowed to marry. Reuven, the brother who's a kohen hedjot, marries such a woman. Now falls such a woman after Reuven dies. Rachel falls to Shimon. Shimon's not the kohen gadol, so it's not a problem of almana, but it's a problem that she was a grusha. And you're not allowed to marry a Kohen, you can't marry Grusha, Midrash, or Chalutza, Midrabanan. So in such a situation, when they were to fall in Yibam, so the marriage was Chal, therefore there is a din technically of Yibam, but the rabbi said, do Chalitz in this situation, rather than being over this Isser Kedusha of his brother, the Kohen Shimon, marrying through Yibam this Grusha or Chalutza. Another example of this would be a mamzeres, a woman who Nebuch was a mamzeres. Her parents had an illicit relationship that resulted in her being a mamzeres. Or a nesina. These saw the nesinim tribe, the givonim, that Yeshua allowed through false pretenses to make peace with them. And they had tricked Yeshua. And as a result, Yeshua said that these nesinim were always going to be chotev etzecha v'shawev me'mecha. They're going to be your woodcutters and your water drawers, but they wouldn't be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So these people are known as the nesinim. The women are known as the nesinina. So a mamzeres, who's not allowed to marry into the kahal, or a nesina, and they married Reuven. So this was an isser in the marriage. The marriage, however, is chal. And then Reuven dies. So this woman, Rachel, who is a mamzeres or a nesina, falls to her brother-in-law, Shimon, in Yibam, because her husband died childless. So on a Doraisa level, Yibam technically can occur. On a Durabana level, because of this Isser Kedusha, so the rabbi said, only do Chalitza. And finally, the other example would be of Bas Yisrael. If you had a Jewish woman, and she was married to a Nosin or a Mamzer, so that also, that marriage is Chal, but this woman wouldn't be allowed to be taken in Yibam or Chalitza if the brother, Shimon, was a Nosin or a Mamzer. So Reuven was married perfectly well to this Bas Yisrael, but his brother is either a Nosin or a Mamzer. And in this situation, you're not allowed to go and do Yibam. We only do Chalitza. That's what the Mishnah gives these examples of Choletzes for Lo Misya Bemes. Now, the Gemara starts off in questions. Why do we say Klal? What, it's an unusual way to start off the Mishnah to say Klal Amru B'Yavama. Why did they say this in regards to the Yavama? I had not pointed out, but the Bach has the lashon of Koshi Isura Isur Erva, as opposed to just the language that we had, Koshi Isur Erva. Fine. Why do we start off with this klal? So I'm Rav Rabba Papa. Rav Rabba Papa tells us it's to include an additional case, which we had also discussed in the first parak, Lasuye, to include in this that the woman herself, as well as her tzara, are forbidden if the woman in question was an islandess, and the tzara is the tzara of an islandess, so it's to include that case as well, that we don't require yibam or chalitza to either the islandess or to the tzara's islandess. Masuye tzara's islandess. Uchad Ravasi, and this goes in accord with the opinion that we had in the first parak of Ravasi, which is the way he understands the klal, why we have this extra statement in the Mishnah to specifically include this case as well. As opposed to the alternate version of learning this, Vika de Amre, that the word klal over here is including what? Klal amru b'yavama. What is this coming to include? Kol shi sura iser erva hu di asira tzarasa. It's only if the woman in question, Rachel, is an actual iser of erva, so then, in that situation, she is going to go and forbid her tzara. The tzara's erva is also excluded from Yibam Chalitza, like Beis Hillel Paskins. However, if the woman, ha lo iser isura isur erva. But if it's not asa because of an isur erva, so then sarasa lo asira. Then the tsara is not going to be forbidden in that situation to yibum. You just don't do yibum with wife A, but you would be allowed to do yibum then with wife B. And who is this coming to exclude? That it's not an issur of erva that you can't do with wife A, but you're allowed to do yibum then with wife B. Lemute mai. This is our case. Amar Rafa Mama Papa. Rafa Mama Papa says lemute tsaras islandis. It comes to exclude from the issur of yibum the tsaras islandis and to allow her to do yibum. And this is not in accord with the loka ravasi. This is the exact opposite of the first version that we had of Amar Rafa Mama Papa. Here it's coming to exclude this din of ravasi. In the first opinion, it was to include this din of ravasi. And that's why you have to tell me this klal amru biyavama, that's to come to either include or exclude the tsaras islandis. Two versions of what Rafram Bar Papa said. Then we said in the Mishnah, if we had the scenario that the two sisters married the two brothers, Reuven married Rachel, sister one, and Shimon married Leah, sister two, so under normal circumstances, if both Reuven and Shimon die, they would fall to Levi, but there would be a problem of Achoz Zukukasos. In that situation, we say, don't do Yibum, because you'd be over this Issa the Rabbanu of Achoz Zukukasos, but do Chalitza with each of them. So fine. However, if one of the wives, the Achoz Zukukaso, let's say Reuven's wife, was also his kaloso, his daughter-in-law, or his mother-in-law through prior marriages, so then the Achoz Zukukaso no longer applies, and while you obviously can't do Yibum with the woman or her tsara, if she's kaloso or chamoso, in addition to Achoz Zukukaso, but now the Achoz Zukukaso that would have been normally a problem with Shimon's wife no longer applies, and you can do Yibum with Chalitza with her or her co-wife. Fine. So Gemara says, Achoz Daman. What are we referring to over here? If you're telling me that this prohibition on Rachel that was Achoz Zukukaso to make it fall away, Ilema, the Issa Mitzvah, it was only an Issa Mitzvah, so then how can you tell me that Achoz Shiyivimto is permissible to do Yibam? Because, albeit, Kivan de Midaraisa, Ram Yakameh, on a Daraisa level, yes, it's the marriage would be chal, and therefore yibum should take place. But nevertheless, pogav achal zukukaso on the rabbanon level, we shouldn't allow it, and we shouldn't allow yibum. We should say du chalitza. So what says Yitaka right? The case of achosu shiyivimta must be talking about el achosu the isser erva. It must be that it's kalosu chamaso and not an isser mitzvah or an isser kedusha. Then we had explained in the Mishnah what Issa Mitzvah and Issa Kedusha was according to our Mishnah. Issa Mitzvah, we said, was Shnios. That's the Din Durabanim that we'll learn about in tomorrow's Shir, where the rabbi said these are too similar to the Surim that are in Erva, and therefore the rabbis instituted rabbinical prohibitions, Issa Mitzvah. Where it says, am I correlating Issa Mitzvah? Where did you get this terminology of Issa Mitzvah from? So I'm Abaye says, Mitzvah Lishmoa Dirichacham. This is the idea that you're obligated to listen to the rabbis. There's an idea that this is a din d'oraisa that you have to listen to the rabbis. But this is a din d'rabbanan that the rabbis instituted, so it's a mitzvah to listen to them. That's why it's called issa mitzvah, these shnios. Then the Mishnah said issa kedusha. We had given examples of that. Amon l'koin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedjot. We've given mamzeres, unesino l'yisrael, or bas yisrael, l'nosin u'mamzer. All of these were examples of the issa kedusha. Fine. So Gemara says, "Am I correlating Issa Kedusha? Why did you get this terminology Issa Kedusha? Why is it called that?" The pasuk says, "Dichsiv Kedoshim Yulelokeim, that you should be holy in God's eyes." So the Kohanim are supposed to be holy. That's why they can't marry over here certain women. The Kohen Gadol can't marry the Amana, and the Kohen Hedjot can't go and marry a Grusha or a Chalutza. Then the Gemara says, "Tanya, we learned in the following brayso." Rebuda had a different understanding of Issa Mitzvah, Issa Kedusha, than our Mishnah, the exact opposite. He said that Issa Mitzvah would be the example of an Amon Kohen Gadol, Grusha, Chalutza, Kohen Hedjot, etc. The other two cases that the Mishnah had given, the Mamzeris and the Sili Yisrael, or the Bas Yisrael and also the Mamzer, so those are examples of Issa Mitzvah, opposite of what the Mishnah called them, Issa Kedusha, and he'll hold that the Issa Kedusha expressed in our Mishnah of being the Amon HaKohen Gadol, he'll hold those of the Shnios. Okay, so where does he get this from? The Braisa tells us that he holds different than the Mitzvah, than the Mishnah. He says, Issa Mitzvah is the Amon HaKohen Gadol, Grusha Kohen Chalutza Kohen Hedjot. But my correlate Issa Mitzvah, so why does he call these Issa Mitzvah? Because he says, Dirsiv, Eila HaMitzvos. The Pasuk tells us, Eila HaMitzvos HaShetziv HaShem Esmoshel B'nei Yisrael B'har Sinai. So these are Mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them, Amon HaKohen Gadol, Grusha and Chalutza is only the Rabbanim, but Grusha Chalutza thrown together, the Kohen Hedjot. So these are Eila HaMitzvos, and that's why they're called Issa Mitzvah. the Raisa continues and says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Issa Kedusha is referring to Shnias Midivri Sofrim, opposite of the Mishnah again. Amar asks, "Why Korele Issa Kedusha? Why is this called Issa Kedusha?" So it says, "Amar Abaye, call a Mekayim Divri Chachamim Nikra Kadosh, because a person who follows what the rabbis say is called a Kadosh. If you Mekayim Divri Chachamim, a person who follows what the Dinim Derabbanan are, so that person is a holy person, and that's why these are called Issa Kedusha, the Shnios." Amli Rava, Rava says to Abaye, "I disagree with that." He says, according to this understanding, if somebody's not Mekayim the Divrei Chachamim, so, okay, he's not a Kadosh. He's a Rasha. Rasha, Nami lo Mikre. You're telling me he's just not a Kadosh? He's a Rasha. If you don't follow what the rabbis say, you're a Rasha. It doesn't make sense to call this a Kedusha. El Amar Rava. So Rava says, this is the reasoning. The reasoning is as follows. Kadesh Asmucha b'mutulach. You should go and make yourself holy. You should sanctify yourself, kadesh atzmecha, which is something that would otherwise be permissible to you. So go and add additional chumras over here, such as the shtios that the rabbis instituted to make yourself holy. That's why they're called Isser Kedusha. Then we go back and we quote the Mishnah, which said, Almana l'koin gadol. So the word says, Kaposik v'toni, the Tana of a Mishnah said that a koin gadol is not like go take a woman who was his brother's wife, but she, when his brother Reuven died, so Reuven the Kohen dies, so Shimon the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go and do Yibam with that woman, even though normally we would say that Eishesach, the Isser doesn't apply, but here the Almana still applies and we don't allow Yibam, we say Du Chalitza. And the Gemara says, Kaposim Gatani, the Tana of our Mishnah said that there's no difference, Lo Shnah Min HaNisuim, the Lo Shnah Min HaErisim. It doesn't make a difference whether Reuven was married to his wife with a full-fledged Nisuim, the marriage was consummated, they were living together for a number of years, or if it was even only Erisin, they only had the first stage of marriage, Reuven had betrothed this woman, the first stage of marriage, he had done Kiddushim with her, but he never consummated the marriage, and Nebuch Reuven died. So here, this woman is a Basula still, but nevertheless, she's an Almana, and therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah, Kaposik Tani, he didn't make any distinction between whether Reuven had died from a state of being married, a full-fledged marriage, Nisuin, or even only if it was a marriage of Erisin. So more questions, especially Min HaNisuin, we understand why that if there was a full-fledged marriage, Reuven the Kohen had married Rachel, and Nebuch, Reuven dies after a full-fledged marriage, so Bishlam Min HaNisuin, we understand why Shimon the Kohen Gadol, his brother, cannot do Yibum, because there are two mitzvahs over here. There's a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. What are the two mitzvahs? So Rashi in Dira Maskel Kaposik V'Toni tells us Chodo is the Almonahi, and it says Almona Ugrusha Lo Sikach. He's not allowed to go marry. That's Lo Sasei. V'Iko Lav the Almona Lo Yikach. So that's number one. For Ode the Beula he is not allowed to go and marry a woman who is not a virgin, because it says Ubesula Me'ama V'Yikach Isha. He has the Bedavka and Asay to marry a Besula, and she is already a Beula. So we understand why. If Reuven was married a full-fledged marriage, because it would be an aseh and a lo saseh, and the ein aseh, the mitzvah of Yibam, cannot be docha, a lo saseh and an aseh. So that's why Shimon the Kohen Gadol can't marry through Yibam the wife of his brother, the Kohen Reuven, because he'd be over both the lo saseh of not marrying a almona and the aseh of required to be marrying a besula. Here he'd be marrying a Be'ula, so he'd be over in Aseh as well, and the Aseh of Yibam can't be Docha and Aseh in a Los Aseh. Very good, we understand that perfectly well. But, the Gemara questions, if Reuven had only undergone the first stage of marriage, so he's still a Besula, he hasn't consummated the marriage, so his wife, Rachel, is still a Besula, so you only have the Los Aseh of Almanah Los Yikach. So therefore, if it's only Min HaErisin, so then we should say that the Aseh of Yibam should be able to be docha, this single lo saseh. Lo saseh gredahu, this is a single lo saseh, it's only, quote, a lo saseh. So yovo aseh of yibam v'yitcha, the lo saseh of amunah ugrusha lo sikach. Why don't we say that? So Amar Gilo Rav, he says, because of the pasuk, Amar Kwa, we also yivimto hashaira. What does this pasuk mean? Matam alom yivimto. Why does it use this lotion of yivimto in this pasuk? So it implies that Yeshlecho Yevamo Achas Sha'ola Lechalitza Ve'ena Ola LeYibam. So there is such a woman that could be eligible for Chalitza, but we don't do Yibam with her. What is such a woman? The Ezo, Zo chayavi laven. This would be a woman where the marriage would take effect, and therefore there is a din of yibum. However, since there's an isser involved, a lav, therefore we say don't do yibum, do instead chalitza. That's why it uses this lashon. It also yavim to hashaira to imply that some yavamos you do have the mitzvah of yibum with, and some yavamos you only have the mitzvah of chalitza with. This would be an example when there'd be a lav involved of almano grusha lo sikach. So the almano lo sikach aspect over here is not docha. The pasuk tells us by the assay. It normally would be docha by the assay, but here it's not. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's true, they mo chayiv krisos. Maybe this is referring also to if it was a chayiv krisos. It not wasn't just an almana. It also is his daughter-in-law. It also is chamaso in this situation. So maybe we don't do yibam, but we should require chalitza in such a situation based upon the pasuk. We also yivim to ashaira that she should go up to the gate to do chalitza. So under certain situations, his yivama requires only chalitza and not yibam. So maybe this would apply to the chayvi krisis as well, not only to chayvi lavin. So he says, no, that's why we have another pasuk where it says, amakra, v'im lo yachpotz v'ish lo kachas, if the man chooses not to. In other words, it's his choice. Implication being, ha'chofetz, if he wished to, he could have done yibam, but he chose not to, and therefore he does chalitza. So this tells us, kol ha'ola l'yibam, ola l'chalitza. The kol she'ein ola l'yibam, ein ola l'chalitza. No, this pasuk tells us that there are certain women where if you wish to, you could do yibam. If you choose not to, then you do chalitza. But in a woman that you don't have the option of doing yibam because it's an isser of erva, so then you don't have the option of doing chalitza. There is no obligation to do chalitza. So we have these two contradictory types of words. Yevimto tells us that there's some women that do require chalitza and not yibam. And then when it says, in lo yachpotz ish lo kachas, so that tells us that if you don't do yibam, then there is no obligation to do chalitza. Where yibam is not allowed, then chalitza is not necessary. So the Gemara says, so then, why don't we say the same thing? The im lo yachpotz ish lo kachas should apply to this iser lav as well. Why don't we say, ihochi chayavi lav nami, that since you can't do yibam, so therefore don't do chalitza. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Rahman Yivimto, but we have the word Yivimto to teach us that you can have this scenario where you don't do Yibam, but you do Chalitza. So we have these two seemingly contradictory verses, one Yivimto and one Lo Yachpoz Yishlakachas, so they tell us these two dinim. For the Chayvi Lavim, we don't do Yibam, but we allow Chalitza. But for the Chayvi Krisis, we don't allow Yibam, and we don't require Chalitza as well. So there were questions. So why did you darshan it this way? Maybe darshan it another way. Umara is that you should darshan that the chayvi lavim require chalitza and the chayvi krisis don't. Maybe darshan it the other way, that the chayvi krisis should require chalitza and the chayvi lavim don't require anything. So we turn to chofo mitbeis. Makes more sense, mistabra, to darshan it the way that we just said. The chayvi lavim, which tovsebu kedushin, the chayvi lavim, that marriage was a halachically chal marriage. The marriage takes effect. Yes, you're over a lot, but the marriage does take effect. So therefore, it makes sense that that woman should require a chalitza, albeit you don't allow yibam because there's a lot involved. But the chayvi krisis, where lo tovsebu kedushin, where the kedushin isn't chal, they're not married, so in that situation, we don't allow or require chalitza as well. Okay. Nadigmar says, Mosif Ravo, Ravo has the following shayla, is mitzvah, is a kedusha, these two Isurim that we talked about in our Mishnah, or the opposite understanding of them, the Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa. So what happens if, in fact, Shimon, who wasn't supposed to do Yibam with the Issa Mitzvah or the Issa Kedusha, he did it. Ba'aleha. He, in fact, did Yibam with her. Or, Chalatzla, he did Chalitza with her. So, in this situation, if he did it with this woman herself, Ba'aleha o Chalatzla, so Niftaro Tzarasa. In that situation, the Tzara is, in fact, also no longer chayev in yibam or chalitza. Now, the chalitza part, we understand that if he did chalitza with the one who he was forbidden to because of issa mitzvah, issa kedusha, so that we said is the din. So we certainly understand why the tzara should go out in that situation. But Rava's asking over here, the way we understood it till now is that you're saying it's based upon a pasuk that you only do chalitza. That means that yibam is not allowed to be done on a Doraisa level. If it's based upon a pasuk, it's only chalitza that's allowed based upon the pasuk, but yibam actually is not allowed based upon the pasuk. If that's true, v'sokadaitoch, the chayavi lavim, that these women, on midoraisa, l'chalitza ramya, you're only allowed to do chalitza, and you're not allowed to do yibam, l'yibam lo ramya, based upon the pasuk, so then, How, if he did an issur that the Torah forbids, kivolel, amay nitra tzarasa? The Torah says that Yibam doesn't work in that situation, so he didn't have error by doing Yibam with her, but how does that part to the tzara? That's the Gemara's question right now. If you're telling me that this is a real drosha d'oraisa, that for the Isser Kedusha, the Isser Mitzvah, that Midoraisa, Yibam is not allowed, and it's only Chalitza that's allowed, so then we have a problem. How do you explain this Braisa that says, even Ba'aleha Niftarot Sarasa? So that's what Rava asked, who Mosul La, he asked it, who Mufarik La, and he gave the answer himself. He said, you read that Braisa incorrectly. Litzdadin Ketani, you have to read it as follows. Ba'aleha, that's talking to the Issa Mitzvah. If he has relations with the woman who has prohibited him only Midrabbanan, that's the Issa Mitzvah. The way our Mishnah explained it, that was a Mitzvah only Midrabbanan, not to get married to her. So then, if in fact he was Ba'aleha, so Midoraisa, he'd be allowed to have relations with her, so then Patur Tzarasa. And that which we said, O Cholatzla, that's only referring to Cholatzla, that's referring to the Issa Kedusha. That was an Issa Doraisa, according to this understanding, to go and do Yibam, but a Mitzvah Doraisa to do Chalitza. So when it said Cholatzla, that was only referring to the Issa Kedusha. The Ba'aleha, that was referring to if it was an Issa Mitzvah. And the Cholatzla, that was only referring to the Issa Kedusha. So that's how you could still understand this. It's actually, for the Issa Kedusha, as understood by our Mishnah, that's referring to the Amon of the Kohen Gadol, it's actually an Issa Doraisa. You can't do Yibam, but it's a mitzvah that you have to do Chalitza with such a woman. So that's the way Rava understood it, and that's how Rava explains that it's not a problem. But Rava still had another question. Masif Rava, Rava asked the following. If you have a Petsua Daka is the person whose testicles have been crushed, or Krush Shavcha is someone whose organ, his gid, has been cut. So these people are pasul lavo lakol. They're not allowed to go and marry into the kahal. Or if you have a sris adam, a person who was nebuch, not able to have children based upon an injury from a human being. A person had injured him in some way, traumatized him in some way, and he's not able to have children. He's a saris, he's a eunuch as a result. Rashi explains that Shesiriso Adam, a person had castrated him, lo machmas choli, not via an illness, but the person had cut off his gid, and that's how he became a Sris Adam. And Rashi reminds us that all of these situations, there is a lav of Psuadaka Kurshavcha, for also Liso Yisraelis. That person is forbidden to marry a Jewish woman, lo lakol, dosiv loyavo Psuadaka, ukurshavcha bikal Hashem. So therefore, all these people are not permitted to have a Yibam marriage. Likewise, v'hazokein, now a zokein is permitted to have marriage, but we're dealing here with a zokein, Rashi says, sheposak mileh, that he's incapable of having children anymore. So this is not a chayvi lavin, he's allowed to get married, he's allowed to love with lakol. However, the chiddush is, the afogab, the lav bar olude, who Rashi says, even though he can't have children, his bia is considered halachically bia, liknos yivimto, and then she becomes married to him, and if he were to divorce her, they would have to do this via get. So all of these people, even though there is either a lav, the tzuadaka, the kurshavcha, or the sris adam, there's a issa lavo la kahal, or with the zakein, who's incapable of having children, so he won't be able to fulfill the idea of yibam, in all of these situations, if they in fact did yibam mechalitza, it's a valid yibam mechalitza, o chotzen o miyabmin, they're able to go do yibam or chalitza. And the Braisa continues to explain, Ketzan, what exactly are we referring to here? Mesu, if any of these people were married and they died without children, so Mesu, Velohem Achim, and they have brothers, Velohem Noshim, and these people that died, the Tzuadaka, the Sris, the Kurshavcha, or the Zokin, who wasn't capable of having children, but they had wives. So in all of these situations, their brothers went, V'amdu Achim Vasu Maimer B'Nishloseim, their brothers made Maimer with the widow, or the Nosnu Get, or they gave a Get, or V'Cholzu, they gave Chalitza. In all of these situations, the halachic ramifications of what they did are in fact effective. Mash Asu Asu. So if a woman were to get Maimer, so then the other brothers are no longer able to do Yibum or Chalitza with her. The one who gave the Maimer, he's the one that's supposed to now do Yibum or Chalitza. If he gave a get, so then the other brothers can't do any more Yibum or Chalitza. Somebody still has to do Chalitza, but the giving of the get or the giving of Maimer changes things around. And likewise, if one of them gave Chalitza, that's it, end of the game. And likewise, V'imbalu, if any of the brothers did Yibum, Kanu, so they acquired them fully as their wives. Nebuch, if it was Mesu, the Achim, if these people, the Khrushchevcha, the Psuadaka, the Swiss, or the Zokain, they had a brother, and that brother died without children. And then these individuals, the Khrushchevcha, the Psuadaka, the Swiss, or the Zokain, who couldn't have children, they went and did Maimer, with one of them did Maimer, Binishosein, or they gave the Nosnuget, or Shecholtzu. So in this situation, Masha Asu Asu, also these people, whatever they did, is halachically taking effect. And if they did Yibum, the Imbalu, they did Yibum with her, Kanu, then they acquired her through Yibum. And however, here there's one difference. But they're not allowed to keep on living with them because of the issue. So therefore, they can't continue the marriage. Now, here's the question Rava finally gets to after he went through this whole brisa. If you're telling me the chayav yilavim on a daraisa level, they're not allowed to do yibum, they're only allowed to do chalitza. So then, how do we say, imbalu, amaykanu? Why are we allowing their bia in these isurei lavim situations, the psuadaka, the krushavka, lo yibu b'kal Hashem? So if you're telling me this is an isur lav, and you're telling me that an isur lav Yibum doesn't work, only Chalitza works, so then, how come in Balu, Amaykonu, why did they actually go, and did the Yibum take effect? So therefore, Rava says, Rav, you are wrong for saying that this is a din daraisa, that they're only Chayev Chalitza, and on a daraisa level, they're Chayev Chalitza, but they're not Chayev Yibum, they're not allowed to do Yibum. So Rava therefore has proven Rav's shita wrong. El Omer Rava explains that we're dealing here with Almana min ha'erisin, that the Almana from erisin likewise is also an asay and a lo sasay. Not like Rav had suggested that it's only an asay of that Almana lo sikach, but there is no isha bisula ikach isha. That doesn't apply. Here, even though she's a basula, there's still an assay that you're over as well. An assay and a los assay. What is that? The assay isn't besula yikach, because she is a besula. Elo, the assay is dechsiv kedoshim yu lelokehem, that you should be kadosh. And therefore, by violating this, by taking the almana, he's violating kedoshim yu lelokehem. And therefore, you don't need the other psukim that Rav had suggested to propose that on a daraisa level, yibum isn't allowed, but chalitza is required. And the answer is, as Rava had just said, it's because an assay of Yibam cannot be docha a los assay of Amono losikoch, as well as the assay of Kedoshim Yu Lelokeyan. Moore says, if that's the case, so then how come by the Mamzeris and the Sina, what are you going to say over there? Mayik Lameymar. So there's only a los assay there, so we should let the mitzvah of Yibam go against the los assay of don't take a Mamzeris, don't take an Asina. So Rava gives the same teretz. He says, you have a word, v'hiskadishtem. The pasuk says, k'nei Hashem Elokeichem, v'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim ki kadoshani. So therefore, there is also an assay over here of making yourself holy. And when you marry the Mamzeres in the Sina, you're being over this assay. So this is, again, is an assay of Yibam, cannot be docha, the los assay of not marrying a Mamzeres or Nesina, as well as the assay of v'hiskadishtem. Where it says, if that's true, call it Torah Kula, nami asev lo sasiyu, then every single situation is going to be an asay and a lo sasiyu, because you're always going to be over also the asay of dechsiv iskadishtem. So how can you ever have an asay bidocha lo sasiyu? So Elo, you're right, Omar Rava, Rava says, Gezeira, here the reasoning is, Almono mino erisin, we don't allow you to go and take the almono from the erisin, even though it should be an aseh docha lo saseh, because there is no problem of she's a ba'ula, she's a basula in that situation, because they never consummated the marriage, but we don't allow you to take the Kohen Gadol brother Shimon, cannot take in Yibam his widow of his brother's Ruvain, Rachel, the widow, he can't take her, not because of Nasei is not docha lo sasei, but because of the gezeri the rabbi set up. If we allow the almona mina erisin to be taken, because the asei is docha lo sasei, or to almona mina esum, then you may come to take the almona from nisum as well. Okay, so that explains the almona, the Kohen Gadol. What about the mamaseres, unasino, Michael Meir? What concern do we have over there that you should make a gezeri that you can't do that as well? So Rava says, simple, gezeri, bimko mitzvah, or to shalom bimko mitzvah. Here, if you were to allow to take the Mamzeres in the Sina, which would be an Asay Docha Lo Sasay, then you may come to marry the Mamzeres in the Sina in other situations as well, when it's not the setting of a mitzvah, and there is no Asay Docha Lo Sasay. So therefore, the rabbi said, don't take the Mamzeres in the Sina, because it could lead to then taking a Mamzeres in the Sina in another situation. Gemara says, based upon this, Elamayata, never allow any Yibam to take effect, because if you allow Yibam to take effect, then you may come to go and marry Eishes Och when it's not been Makum Mitzvah. Eishes Och in the Aviv, Lotis Yabin, never allow Yibam to take effect, because of Gezerim, Mishum Eishes Och Mehimo, because you may come to go and do Yibam on Eishes Och Mehimo. So if you allow Eishes Och Mead, they'll say you can also do Eishes Och Mehimo. So you shouldn't allow Yibam, we should say, just do Chalitza. What would you say to that, Rava? So I would say, no. Yibam ben achala tol rachmana and made the yadid. No, everybody knows the difference between Yibam, which is only based upon the din that we pointed out in the previous shurim of nachala. So it has to be only somebody who we have nachala with. Two brothers have the same nachala, but maternal brothers don't have the same nachala. And everybody knows that, made the yadid, and therefore there is no such gezerah concern. So Gemara says, no, this still is a concern. Maybe Isha she'en la banim lotus yabim. We shouldn't allow a woman who doesn't have children to undergo yibam. The husband never had children. The wife, he didn't have children with that wife, so you shouldn't allow that to be because gzeira mishum isha she'esh la banim, because it won't be b'malkum mitzvah. It's an eshesach she'esh la banim and it's not allowed to be taken. So we shouldn't allow eshesach that doesn't have children to be taken in yibam because of the concern that an eshesach that does have children. So you might mistakenly think that yibam applies in that situation as well. So, therefore, we should only allow chalitza, not yibam. What do you say to that, Rava? So Rava says, no, but b'banim tol rachmana and made the idea. Everybody knows the din of yibam. The din of yibam is if she's childless, if the husband who passed away, the dead brother, doesn't have children, so then there's a din of yibam. But everybody knows if he had children, that there's no din of yibam. Even made the idea. There's no concern, no reason to make a gzeira. So Mar says, but there still is a possibility to make a mistake. Eishes ochiv shahaya bi'olamo lotis yame. Then we shouldn't allow an Eishes Och, who was alive at the time that Reuven passed away, to go do Yibam because of the Zera. Mishum Eishes Och Shloya B'Olam, in our case of Levi, that wasn't in the world at the time that Reuven was alive. So we shouldn't allow Yibam with Shimon, who was in the world at the same time, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachto, because of the concern of the Levi, Shloya B'Olam. So Gemara says again, everybody knows this din. B'Yeshiva Tol Rachmana, Meida Yediya. Everybody knows the din is Kieshu Achim Yachdav. They have to be alive at the same time, and everybody knows that. And therefore, they'll know that Shimon was alive at the time, and he can do Yibam. But they'll know that Levi wasn't alive at the time, and he can't do Yibam. Everybody knows that there's no reason to be concerned that somebody will make a mistake. Where it still says, Kol Anoshim Lo Tisya Beimna Kizerim Mishum Islandess. We shouldn't allow any woman to undergo Yibam because maybe she's an islandess. So therefore, we don't know for certain that she's not an islandess, so therefore if we allow Yibam to take place, people say, ah, you're allowed to do Yibam even with an islandess. So where it says, lo shkicha, Rava says, no, that's just not a common thing. The rabbis only goes there on a dover shriach. A dover she'eno shriach, something that's not likely, it's not a common occurrence, so the rabbis would not go to gezeiros for uncommon things. So where it still says, mamzeres in the sino, nami lo shkicha. So again, if you're telling me that we don't make gzeres uncommon things, and you're telling me this is a gzera, mamzeres in the sina, that you may come to marry a mamzeres in the sina outside of Yibam, if we allow them to be married during Yibam, so these are also very uncommon. So how come you make such a gzera? So we're stuck. Rav is stuck. So Gemara says, you're right. Rav changes the sheet around. Elama Rav. The whole reason is gzera bia rishona atu bia shniya. You're 100% right. The real bia rishona would be allowed. But once the mitzvah of Yibam was accomplished, how are you going to stay married? Because now every time you're living with her, you don't have the aseh docha the los aseh. You don't have the mitzvah of Yibam being docha the los aseh. So therefore, the rabbi said, don't do the bia rishona because you're not going to end up stopping and you're going to do bia shnia, and the bia shnia is going to be forbidden. And I'll show you that this is right. Rabbi says, tani nami hochi, because we have a braisa that supports this. In balu kanu, but that's only the bia rishona. Also lekaimon, Bibiyoshniya. So you're 100% right. The din is that you shouldn't do Yibam, but if they did Yibam, it would be Kona. However, you can't continue to live with them afterwards. That's the Biyoshniya, because that is no longer an Aseh Docha Lo Saseh, that is just a Lo Saseh, and therefore that would be the problem. So this is what Rav wants to suggest, is the Gezerah Biyoshona, ought to Biyoshniya is the reason why you don't take these women L'chatrila for Yibam, but you just do Chalitza. But then Rava said, Hoda Amar Rava, other says Vitema Ravashi, he retracted this. And he says, Lav Mil Sahidi Amre. Either Rav himself said or the Ravashi said, that which Rava said is incorrect. He don't make the Xera via Rishona Atu Bia Shnia. Why? The Amar Rishlakish, Rishlakish said, Kol Makum Shata Motzi Asei Velo Sasei. Whenever you have a situation, we have an Asei, but you also have a Lo Sasei, and we normally say the Asei is Doche, the Lo Sasei, that's only. Im Ato Yechol L'Kayim Shneihem Muta. If you can be Makayim, the Asei, as well as the Lo Sasei, that's the ideal thing to do. We don't say in that situation the aseh is docheh the los aseh. It's only if you can't do the aseh without transgressing the los aseh, that's when we say yovo aseh v'yidches los aseh. So that's the rule, Reish Lakish says. And therefore, in our case here, we have a los aseh of not doing this marriage. But there's a way to get around that and fulfill the aseh of yibam. How do you fulfill the aseh of yibam? You can also do chalitza. So ha chanami. Efshah b'chalitza, since there is an alternative way that you're not negating the aseh, you're still doing the aseh, albeit via chalitza. So therefore, in this situation, ha chanami, efshah b'chalitza, the mekayim aseh of yibam, albeit you're doing it with chalitza, the lo saseh, and you also be mekayim, the lo saseh of not having these marriages take place that involve a lav. So therefore, do chalitza and don't do yibam. So even the din of aseh docheh lo saseh is not applicable over here because you can be mekayim both. Where it says, no, this isn't right. Meisvei v'yimbalu konu. But it says, if you in fact did bia, if you did yibam, kanu. They are considered full-fledged wives. Now, if you're telling me that it's not considered a real din because you can be mekayim both, so therefore it's not an aseh docheh lo saseh, then the bila shouldn't work. The balu shouldn't be konya. So Gemara says, Taka, you're right. Tiyufta. This is a tiyufta on the way that Rava wanted to change his mind on Rava's new idea that it should be that you can be mekayim both. That would be disproven by this, and therefore the halacha is that min hadin yibam does in fact override this lav. Aseh of yibam is docha, the lo saseh. However, the reason is because gzeira ought to be a rishona, ought to be a shnia. You're right, only the first bia would be overridden, the aseh, over the lo saseh, but then you don't have that present for every other one, and that's why the rabbi said, do chalitza instead of yibam. But tak, if you did yibam, it works. Now the Gemara says, Itmar bias kohen gadol bi almana. What happens if the kohen gadol, Shimon, did bia with the almana of Reuven? He did yibam. So Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, they have a machlokis. One of them said, Chadamar, eino poter sarasa. You're not poter the tzara in this situation. And the other one said, Chadamar poter sarasa. If Reuven had another wife, she would be potted over here by the bia that was done with the almana. So yes, according to Gadol, I have to give her a get, but that bia did accomplish pottering both the almana herself and if there are any other co-wives from having to undergo yibum mechalitza with any of the other brothers that weren't the Kohen Gadol. So the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar is, does the bia from Shimon, the Kohen Gadol, work in fact to exempt her now from needing yibum mechalitza from someone else or for the co-wives to need yibum mechalitza from a different brother? That's the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. But this is a good break point. As we turn to Chafala from an Aleph, we'll stop over here. We'll pick this up. We'll remind ourselves of this machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan tomorrow. But for now, with this, we'll conclude today's share.